You don't need an education. Wisdom is not some academic thing. Wisdom is a spiritual thing that can only come from one source, and that's from God Himself. And God, the Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not men. And if you want a boatload of wisdom, God will just dump it right on you. Won't even ask for an invoice or a receipt. Won't even ask for a tip. He'll just give it right to you as much as you want. And you can have it and stop living a foolish life. You can make your life count for God.
The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. So we're just praying the Lord will bless our ministry. And He has. And we're thankful for that. And so we're looking forward to do many more good years of videos and ministry and just doing all that for the Lord. So that's basically who we are, what we're doing.
Amen. Brother Smith, how did you get into preaching God's word? What made you decide to go ahead and preach the Bible?
Well, when I was 18, I got saved. And, you know, I was listening to preaching tapes. I mean, I was just consumed with Bible and just trying to study the word of God and do everything I could to please the Lord in my life. I was just so excited that God would save me. And then the idea that, you know, my life had purpose now. My future was secure, but now my present made sense. And so I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'll do anything you want me to do. Anything, anywhere, anyhow, whatever you want me to do, Lord. I really surrendered my life to Christ. And the Lord called me to preach. And I just felt like if I did not become a preacher, then I wouldn't be able to live with myself. I just knew that's what God wanted me to do. And so I decided, if I'm going to be a preacher, I'm going to have to study the Word of God. And I went to Bible college not long after and found my wife. And we got married, of course, after Bible college. And but I believe that the Bible has the answer. And I'm not looking for the truth. I'm looking in the truth, in my copy of the Word of God. And I don't have any gimmicks. I don't have any cute sayings. I don't have anything that can change your life, but I have a book that can change your life. And I have a book that has all the answers. I don't have the answers, but that book does. And I can point you to that book. And so I think the greatest service that a man can do to his community, to his nation, to his country, to his state, really to the world, is to just tell people what the Word of God actually says. And that's really it. I mean, there's so many people looking to make a difference in the world with their life. Well, I mean, why is the Bible not ever brought into that equation? And I think God's Word, not only does it have the answer, I think it is the answer. And so I don't have anything interesting to tell you. The only thing I can tell you is that I'm a nobody who met Christ, and that Bible tells me all about who He is, and I want the world to know Him. So that's really why I preach the Bible. I don't have the answer, but the Bible does, and I want you to know it. There's this mindset we get into where it's like a tug of war of my religion is better than your religion. And in a sense, that's true, of course. But, you know, when I'm standing in the streets of Nairobi and I talk to a Muslim man, I don't really have any different angle than I would if I was walking across the street from my house here in Kentucky talking to a neighbor. The issue is sin. And it's not really, you know, you're a Muslim or a Buddhist or a Hindu or a Catholic or whatever. The issue is your sin. And the only, there's only one person who can cleanse and forgive sin, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not Krishna, it's not Buddha, it's not Allah, it's not Muhammad, it's not finding Nirvana. It's none of that stuff. It's not even the Pope. No man can cleanse sin, and I think even the Pharisees even acknowledged that when they were scoffing at the Lord Jesus healing people. No man can cleanse sin, but Jesus can. And so the first approach that I take is convince them that they are a sinner, that they do have sin, and use the Ten Commandments, of course, to do that, and convince them that they have sin and that they are wicked and unjust before God. And then I use that to bring them to the idea that there is a Savior who can cleanse you from your sin, and He can wash your sins away and forgive you and justify you and to make you a child of God. John 1:12, that as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. And so really, that's the angle I have for everybody. Really, that's just the only angle that the gospel has. You know, I'm not trying to, there's a fine line, really. And a lot of people go out there will say, we're trying to trying to get these people to repent of Islam and come to Jesus. Well, no, that's not really what we're trying to do. We're trying to convince people that they're in sin. And the Holy Spirit's job is to convince people of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. And I don't want to people misunderstand me. I mean, Islam is a false religion, and there is no forgiveness of sin in Islam. And even they'll admit that. But what we're trying to do is convince folks you're a sinner and you need a savior. And the only savior is Jesus Christ. And that's really the only angle I have. I don't have any special, angle with anybody else. That's really it.
And can I be honest with you, church? Can I give you my honest assessment? I have a perspective in this. I'm not an old man. I'm not an elder. But I'm telling you, today in America, we have got church after church after church after church after church after church that are as dead as a hammer. And they're not doing anything for God. They're not passing out gospel tracts. They're not witnessing to people. They're not running tent campaigns. They're not evangelizing people. They're not running bus routes. They're not doing anything for God. They're not trying to get people saved. They're not going out with gospel tracts and trying to witness to folks on their streets, trying to tell people how to be saved. They're dead. When I see people, I did a seminar in rock music a few months ago, and I found out that there's people that are like Marilyn Manson that are rock music junkies in this country, and Ozzy Osbourne and all kinds of junk like that. They've grown up and given their lives to Satan. But you know what? There was a day ago where Ozzy Osbourne was a little boy that probably could have been picked up on a bus route and probably been taken to a church and could live for God on this very day. Marilyn Manson at one point was a little boy that could have been raised for God and could have been reached at an early age with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But because a bunch of people fled the harvest and didn't stand where they're supposed to, they fled and left the Philistines have the harvest. Because of that, we've got a bunch of Satans in America. I'm sick of this, seeing the world dying and going to hell. I'm sick of seeing people die without Christ. I'm sick of seeing families ruined by all kinds of wicked sin. I'm sick of families being ruined by immorality and teenagers going to the devil. I'm sick of seeing kids living their life for Satan. I'm sick of people dying in the mission field having never heard one time about how to be saved. I'm tired of all that stuff, and I'm going to stand for God. And as long as there's breath in my body, as long as there's power in my legs to stand, I'm going to stand for God, and you ain't getting this harvest anymore. I'm talking about I'm leaving the lentils for the last time. I'm sick of it. 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 I am sick of it. I knew I felt like preaching tonight. I am sick of it. And as long as I'm alive, it'll not happen anymore. Hey, yes, sir. It's preaching time in the house of God tonight. I think I need a little water. Hang on a second.
You know, I've got family members that are not saved, and I see them every now and then. And when I got saved, I had family members that told my parents that I don't ever see him again. And so that was fun. But I do have family members that I see that are not saved. And the approach that I try to take with them is, a lot of them are older than me. And so, to them, I'm just some snotty-nosed little kid, even though I'm a grown man with my family. They think I'm just some snotty-nosed kid who doesn't know anything, and they remember me when I was a little toddler. So why would they ever take any advice from me? That's the disadvantage I would have with some of these people. But I try to love them, try to be kind, and try to tell them the truth. With family, it's not like crossing paths with somebody in the street, and you'll never see them again. With family, you'll if the Lord tarries is coming, and if everybody, aside from something tragic happening, you'll see them every now and then. And I try to give them some literature to read. I want you to check this track. I want you to check this out. Read this. And then I'll see you in a few months, and we'll, if I give you something at Thanksgiving, I'll see you at Christmas, and try to do it that way. I try not to, especially in like a family setting, we're sitting there, everybody's carving turkey around Thanksgiving dinner, just put them on the spot like that and embarrass them. I try to be tactful and respectful to these people. But, you know, family, I think the best testimony you can do, the best witness you can have with your family is living a changed life. My family knew who I was before I came to Christ, and they know who I am now, and they see that there's a difference. Now, they might not understand why, but they cannot explain it, but they can't deny it either. I'm a different person now. And that is the best testimony that your lost family can get, is the evidence of a changed life. And if you can't show that to them, then you're probably never going to win them. Oftentimes, I would suggest a lot of people are at their worst when they're around their family, and it shouldn't be that way. So the changed life, I think, is probably the number one thing that can be used to win your very family to Jesus Christ.
Well, can I tell you that we ought to try to reach undesirable people? We ought to try to reach people that we don't like. Can I tell you that in November of 2001, there was a public school kid that walked into a church, Peachtree Road Baptist Church in Suwanee, Georgia. He was 18 years old. He was a teenage drunk. His clothes smelled of cigar smoke, and he was listening to heavy metal music, pulling into the church parking lot, and he walked into that church, and he smelled like a furnace, and he was out of his mind, living in sin, teenage drunk, and those people at that church, they shook his hand, and they hugged him, and they loved him, and they bought him suits, and they bought him a Bible, and they told him that Jesus loved him, and they preached the truth to him, amen. They told him how it was, where he was, amen. And tried to love him, and they invited this boy over to their house, and this guy was out of his mind. He was crazy. But can I tell you, this young guy got right with God, and that young guy's preaching to you today. Amen. And can I tell you, you need to learn to see what people could be, not what they are right now. They said there was a master sculptor years ago, and he would walk up to a piece of rock. They said he would buy big gigantic 15-ton rocks, and he'd walk up to a rock, and he'd look at it and say, you know what? That's not the one. He said, that one right there, that's the one. I can see it. It's going to be beautiful. And the guy that was loading up the rock to him said, you know, you said this rock's going to be beautiful. He said, well, how do you say that? It's just a rock, man. It's just a piece of stone. And the artist said, you know, I see what it is now, but I'm seeing more than that. I'm seeing what it's going to be when I'm finished with it. And can I tell you, that's what you need to see when you see people that you don't like, people that are drunk on your job. You know, there's people that you work with that are monsters that could, if you would just get a burden for them and go get them saved, they could be some of the best church members that this church has ever seen. But you got to learn to see what they could be, not what they are right now.
It's hard to nail it down because there's so much good in the Bible, but I think my life verse is Philippians 3:12. Not as though I had attained, either I already made myself perfect, but I follow after, if I may apprehend that for which I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. And that's really my life's goal, is just to do the will of God, apprehend that for which I've been apprehended. God saved me for a purpose, and I want to fulfill that purpose and do whatever God wants me to do with my life. And that's really all life means to me, man. Just, you know, I'm just a steward here, just managing the time and the talents that God's given me, and trying to use them to bring a return to my master when he comes. And I'll actually be preaching on that on Wednesday night. And but I you know, to me, that's really about it. Joy in serving Jesus and doing the will of God. And so Philippians 3:12 has become my life motto. You know, I've also recently, in the past few years, the Lord has brought out in my mind and clarified so beautifully to me the importance of Bible doctrine, standing for truth. You know, if any man have any form of doctrine, mark that man, have no fellowship with him. You know, adorning the doctrine, and there's so much. Just go search the word doctrine. People in the New Testament, when they heard Jesus teach, they were astonished at his doctrine. And so that's why we've made the motto of our channel, Doctrine Matters, because it does. And so really, you know, it's hard for me just to nail it down to one little passage, but those are some of the things the Lord's working in my heart here in recent years. And like I said, I'll be preaching this Wednesday at our church on stewardship and stewarding your life. And I used to say this a lot. The Lord's corrected me on it. I used to say, I don't want to waste my life. I don't want to waste my life. But I found out it's not my life. It is the life that God gave me to steward. And there's a big difference there. So I'm going to be preaching on that on Wednesday night at our church. And that's just something that the Lord's working in my heart and life and in recent history. But it's very important that we stay in the Bible, study the Bible, and let the Lord cleanse us through the Word of God. If say you have no sin, you deceive yourselves and the truth is not in you. And so as you read the Bible, you become more and more acquainted with your sins and how wicked you are. And some people say, well, that sounds like a bad thing to do. Well, no, it's a great thing to do, because the more depraved and wicked you realize you are, the more you realize you need the Lord. And when you need the Lord, that's when you start reaching out to him. And that's when he starts reaching out to you. You know, draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. That's when you start fellowshipping with the Lord. And that's when life really starts becoming worth living. And that's the life that I want to live. But you can't do it without a walk in the Word of God. You have to have that time in the Word of God. And as you get in that Word of God and the Word of God gets in you, that's when you find out that, boy, life is really worth living when it's living for the Lord. They keep asking me, who do you listen to and who do you recommend? And I say, well, I may give them a handful of people. And they say, well, you don't like this guy? And I'll say, well, he believes this. And I'll quote off, and it doesn't matter what it could be. It could be the man believes in the flying spaghetti monster. I mean, it could be anything insane, way out there, whatever. And you know what people say? But I like him. I like him. Did you really think that Satan was going to put a man behind pulpit, preach heresy, and have that man be a jerk?
Amen.
Satan polishes up his product real well. I'm going to tell you something. You know how you can know the difference between a charlatan and a real man of God? A charlatan does this all the time. That's what they do. You ever watch Joel Osteen? The body language of Joel Osteen is almost just gross. There's people on Broadway saying he needs to tone it down. You know? I mean, Lord have mercy. Crazy. That's how a false teacher looks like. But a real man of God looks something like this. Hey, give me a preacher that acts like Hulk Hogan over a preacher that acts like Pee Wee Herman any day of the week. Amen. Now look like that. I want him to judge me with his judgy finger all the time. That's what I want. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. That's what Bible preaching is. It's this. It's reproving and rebuking and exhorting. Amen. That's what it is. As far as music, I would tell folks, it's not even about music. It's about the very character and nature of who God is. And, whether you like it or not, music is a language. Music is not neutral. It's not amoral. And if music was amoral, then why did they not play like Swedish death metal in an elevator? Okay, that's the classic line I always use with that. But it's really more about the character of who God is. And for more understanding on that, I would encourage your audience to go watch our Third Adam documentaries, because we lay all that out from an angle that I don't hear anybody else talking about. And I think the angle that we've given is very helpful. And I think a lot of people would be benefited from that. So go watch our documentaries, Third Adam. We got 1, 2, 3 and 3 extended cuts, which we called 3X. So go check those out and that'll be a blessing to you. People don't get hurt by preachers. They get hurt by unqualified men standing in the place of a pastor. I'm going to say that again because I want you to get that. People don't get hurt by a preacher. They get hurt by an unqualified man pretending to be a preacher. A real man of God and a shepherd is not immoral. He's not dragging a church through a scandal, and he ain't going around abusing people. He's a good man, a gentle man. He's a kind man, a godly man. And by the way, let me say also, people are not getting bad doctrine from a real preacher either. A lot of people say, well, I'm not any denomination. I just believe in Jesus. And you know, as if that was some sort of, good thing. Really, that's That's not how any of this works. And words mean something, and the word Methodist means something, the word Baptist means something, and the word Catholic means something. That's like going to the voting booth and say, well, I'm just going to vote for whoever. It doesn't matter, Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, Green Party. I'm just going to vote for whoever because none of those labels mean anything. Well, yes, they do. They mean everything. I'm not saying that independent fundamental Baptist is like the end all be all of everything. Well, let me just explain to you why I say that, why I believe I'm an independent fundamental Baptist. Of course, I'm an independent because I don't think that the New Testament church was anything but an independent church. I don't see a convention in the Bible. I don't see a universal Catholic church in the Bible. I see a group of independent churches who are independent operated, independent funded, and indigenous. They're autonomous. They're self-governing. They can make their own decisions, scattered throughout the Word of God. That's what I see. So because of that, I model myself after that as an independent. I'm a Baptist because I believe in what are often referred to as Baptist distinctives. And there's acronym BAPTIST. Believer's baptism is the B, the authority of the scriptures. Priesthood of believers is the P. The T is the two ordinances. You have baptism and the Lord's Supper. There's the S, which is separation of church and state, and then there's another T, which is two offices. Okay, so there's Baptist, and there's much more to it than that, of course. But I'm just trying to give you a brief overview. But I believe that a person, when they get saved, they need to be baptized after salvation. I don't believe in infant baptism. That's why I'm not a Lutheran. Lutherans practice infant baptism. They believe that's like the New Testament equivalent of Old Testament circumcision, which that logical leap, I don't know where they got that, but they didn't get it from the Word of God and from proper hermeneutics and exegetical interpretation of the scriptures. That is for sure. And covenant theology is part of all that as well. So I don't believe in infant baptism. So I'm an independent, meaning I'm not a part of a convention. I'm a Baptist, which is, I get that because of what I believe about church polity and church ordinances. And then I'm a fundamentalist, which means that I don't hold hands with heretics. I don't hold hands with men who hold hands with heretics. Priscilla Shire is a woman preacher, and Priscilla Shire goes and preaches for like one of the worst heretics alive today, Joel Osteen. Well, even if Priscilla Shire was doctrinally sound, I wouldn't fellowship with her just for the simple fact that she fellowships with Joel Osteen. I can't do that. So I practice ecclesiastical separation. And that's what fundamentalism is. It's the idea of we're strictly going to stand for what the Word of God clearly says, and we will not fellowship with those who do not. I can't fellowship with Stephen Furtick. I can't fellowship you name it. There's a lot of guys out there who fellowship with total false teachers. This is what the Bible teaches about the New Testament church. It's very important that we get that. This is what the Bible teaches about the New Testament church, what the character of the true New Testament church looks like. They are independent, they are fundamentalist, and they are Baptist. And so that's why I tell folks, it's very important that you get in a church that is properly demonstrating the character of the New Testament church as outlined by the New Testament. And in that case, they will be three things. They will be independent, they will be fundamental, and they will be Baptist. And a lot of people give me some grief over that, but that's okay. And I do want to say this too, Matt. I think there are people out there who have taken the name independent fundamental Baptist, but they do not properly demonstrate the character of that New Testament church. They're just basically hijacking terms. And those guys are being marked and avoided, and I think they're very dangerous too. So what we have is we have a website called Independent Baptist Church, independentbaptist.church, independentbaptist.church, and we have over 5,500 churches on there, and we have been able to vet most of them, although we can't vet all of them because sometimes things change. A new pastor comes in, and he takes the church the Rick Warren route, progressive and all that stuff. So sometimes that happens. We have to add a few guys, take a few guys off, but that's what we got going on right now. independentbaptist.church. Find a good church on there. And some people say, well, there isn't one in my area. Well, pray about moving. That's what I can tell folks. So that's why it matters. life is too short to waste your life on this world. Invest in eternal things, live for God. And really, if the Bible is the Word of God, then that's all that matters. But if the Bible is not the Word of God, then nothing really matters. And but the Bible is the Word of God. And so really, that's all that matters in life. And I don't care about your, you know, I don't care about your money. I don't care about your fame. I don't care about nothing. I want you walking with God. And really, at the end of your life, when you're laying on your deathbed, that's all that matters. The old hymn, I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus? And if you can find the will of God for your life and fulfill that calling, then you will have found what life is all about. It's just that simple. And a lot of people miss it because of how simple it is. Life is about finding and fulfilling the will of God for your life. And if you'll do that, then you will live a life worth living. But if you don't, you can be out there, you know, chasing nonsense and chasing vanity and chasing shadows, and you waste your life. I don't want that for you. So find and do the will of God. And thank you, Brother Matt, for this interview. I appreciate you so much, man. And appreciate you guys letting me come on. And God bless you.
But I ain't got much room for a man coming into the church and saying, let's sing this song. And it's some contemporary Hillsong nonsense. Amen. And I ain't got much room for a guy coming into a church and say, well, you know, the King James is just, you know, it's the best. But you know, we're not that narrow-minded about the thing, you know. I mean, you know, whatever. And, hey, you know, I got all the room in the world for new converts, but I ain't got no room in the world for false teaching and false doctrine. Amen. I ain't got no room in the world for Rick Warren. I ain't got no room in the world for Stephen Furtick. I ain't got no room in the world. I ain't got no room in the world and no compassion for people that are sending people to hell.
Amen.
The other night, we had a live stream. Johnny was in there with me, and we started talking about this new rap Christian star came out with a stupid song, and it was a Christian rap song. It was filled with there were things in that song that if I said that right here in this pulpit, y'all would ask me to sit down. And I probably would never preach again. And this is a Christian rap song. And I got up on the live stream and I said, this man's an idiot.
Amen.
This man's a false teacher. I didn't have anything nice to say. And people emailed me and said, you need to be more compassionate. You're not being very loving. Good! This loving thing is a bunch of nonsense, what it is.
Yeah.
You know what this love thing is? It is a cop-out for a bunch of cowards who won't call false doctrine out and won't call sin out. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to call it, if it's sin, it ought to be called sin. If he's a false teacher, he ought to be called a false teacher. If he's a wolf, he ought to be called a wolf. And I don't have any compassion for wolves that are attacking sheep. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And if you don't see it that way, then you see it wrong.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Some of you ain't liking this sermon. Amen. I'm telling you, there's more at stake here than just music.
Amen.
There's more at stake here than just music. And truth be told, all of that music pushes you to the foot of the Pope.